Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is April 11th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, you know, obviously you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to it there, or by subscribing to Motor Vitality on iTunes and or Google Podcasts. So I did not send out a reminder message to everybody this week, which means that those of you that are on here had it on your schedule and calendar and put it on, and I appreciate that a ton. That means that you find value in this, and I do promise to try and do my best to make it not wasted time for you. So thank you very much for that. A couple real quick announcements. First off, next week, I, at this time, will be on my way down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And so Jen will be running the call next week. And in 2 weeks, one of our MV Pros, Corey Ringel, will be our guest host. And so with maybe a little assistance from Stacy, who has helped host the call before. But Jen and I are going to be out at the WQA convention in Las Vegas. And we will be doing some Facebook Live or, you know, live videos and probably some Facebook Lives and stuff like that from there. But the MV Pro call will have a guest host there. So please check that out. I bet it will be pretty good topic, pretty exciting. And you know, if you log on and give the support to these guys, that would be amazing. I'd appreciate that a lot too. Jen, what's our booth number? 1136, it's, right?
Nope, 1131.
1131. I was in the right aisle.
Yeah, you're in the right aisle. 1131.
Look for a guy with a duck on a shirt wandering around looking for a booth.
Looking for his own booth.
and then keep walking until you see Jen. If you are in Las Vegas at the WQA convention, I hope to see you. Please come visit with us and say hello. It'd be great to see everybody there. I strongly recommend that. So,
Also, Tuesday after lunch, I don't remember the exact time, but it's after lunch, I will be speaking, and I'll put up the information on my Facebook page, the exact time and the room location, but I will be speaking in the business section, and I think the title of my presentation is Very Important Person, the First Initial Contact. So I'm really excited about it. I've been putting it together. I said that I wanted to do the fantabulous front desk customer service, and I don't know. I guess they didn't like the word fantabulous. I was trying to get it in Webster's, but it's not there yet. So they changed the title on me, and then as I started looking at the title, I'm like, okay, I can have fun with this. So I'm really excited as I'm writing it. It's going to be pretty awesome. So come see me.
Yep. I'm just going to be talking about boring mentoring for WQA stuff. So, anyway, let's start the call off the way we do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or comments or thoughts or anything we can help with? As always, I want this to be a discussion, you know, to kind of talk about what you guys want to talk about if we need to. We had a pretty big industry announcement this week. I don't know if those of you on the call have heard that A.O. Smith, the company that I always knew to sell plumbing supplies, you know, water heaters and stuff like that. Last year, of course, they bought Haig Water Treatment. And this year, just a couple days ago, it was announced that they purchased Water Right. Jen and I have several Water Right clients across the country, and that was interesting. So I don't know if you guys had heard that. I think it's kind of interesting to see the direction the industry is going. And, you know, to kind of strategize a little bit and look into it and, okay, why is a plumbing supply company purchasing the, you know, these water treatment companies. And I always thought with Haig it made sense because Haig made a product called Water Boss that was kind of this little entry-level box store unit, and it made sense that they would want to do that. WaterRite, you know, tends to be more customer-centric and you know, much more of a dealer emphasis, and, you know, with the relationships. I know the Gruitts pretty well, and they have a very solid, strong customer service relationship in the industry. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that's something to kind of keep an eye on and watch and see where that takes the industry, you know, just the direction of the industry. It's been kind of interesting to see some of those changes occur over the last two decades, you know, just to kind of watch the trajectory of it. Some companies that I thought would never sell to the big corporate entities, you know, they have. I mean, when I started in the industry, Kinetico was still owned, you know, privately owned by basically two people, and never thought that they would sell to, you know, to a larger organization. But things change, you know, things, people get older and people start, you know, things change. It's just kind of interesting. Anybody have any thoughts on that? I don't want to, I definitely don't want to get into a, whether we think it's good or bad on this call or anything like that. You know, that's not what I want to do, but I just, does anybody else find that kind of, those kinds of industry changes interesting, or is that just me?
No, I think it's definitely something to look at. I personally wasn't familiar with WaterRite when I saw the emails come through from WQA about it. I'm like, okay. But A. O. Smith is huge. They could, yeah. They're positioning themselves to be some competition.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, and what I hope from that is, you know, it's interesting, I guess, from Motive Vitality standpoint, I don't see it as competition because we work with so many different clients, you know, because we work with different industries. I understand how working with one manufacturer they would, but I see it, you know, you guys have heard me say this before, to quote Uncle Ben, you know, Spider-Man's uncle, with great power comes great responsibility. Actually, it was, if anybody really cares who actually said it, it was Voltaire way back when, but I like Spider-Man's uncle better. But with great power comes great responsibility, and I, that's what I see with it is, you know, you've got the resources, the name recognition, the, you know, the organization. Do they exploit that, which some manufacturers have in the history of our industry? They've come in and they've taken names and sort of raped and pillaged the name, you know, and then sold it. You know, you see that a lot with investment companies. Or do you use that to grow the industry? Do you recognize the great power that you have in, you know, in your position and utilize that? And that's what I hope. You know, that's what I look for. Maybe that just makes me a fiscally unrealistic ideologue. I don't know, but I want to see that type of thing happen with the industry. You know, so I think the only thing to point out, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because we do have a topic that I want to talk about today, but I do think it's interesting to see those changes outside of a, you know, a little local bubble, you know, and so I think that's kind of interesting. But anyway, anybody else have anything they want to talk about before we jump into our topic? Okay, so I'm actually going to give credit to Corey on this one, Corey, who is going to be guest hosting in 2 weeks for us. We got a call from a builder. Corey got a call from a builder. And, Corey, if I get the story wrong or if I'm going to expand, it doesn't necessarily have to be based. It could be like one of those movies written about this story, written about your experience, you know, where it's based in it. But I might fabricate the scenario a little bit for, you know, to make it more interesting. but it'd be interesting to hear if you had conversation after we talked, you know, to maybe you could further the plot. But anyway, it got me thinking, you know, so here's the scenario. there's a builder that is a huge builder. You know, they've done a lot of homes locally. They're well known, and they call up out of the blue, you, Corey, and they say, hey, we need a softener in this house. It's for sale. Here's the lockbox. Go in and tell us what we need. You know, give us a quote on this thing. And they have never used the company before. They've never, not that we're aware of. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. There's no history, no record. It's also kind of interesting because one of our competitors has a lot of the builder business kind of locked up. And so it's kind of a surprise. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it's kind of a surprise when we get a call from a big builder that says, hey, we'd like you to give us a quote, because normally we would have, you know, we've kind of heard enough, you know, quite a bit that a lot of the builders are using this competitor, this local competitor, because they're builder programs. And you know, we are just now putting together effective builder programs where we didn't really have a lot of that in the past. Okay, so they give us a call, and we just have a lockbox. We go out there, and it's a gorgeous house. I mean, like a, you know, $2 million, $2.5 million house, gorgeous house that obviously needs equipment. There's nobody there, nobody to do the presentation to, you know. But we realize that the person that gave us the lockbox number is actually the builder. So it's the lady is the builder. Her husband is actually a realtor, and who sells all. So she builds how many houses a year, Corey?
Probably about 20 a year, actually. After
okay, so a custom builder. They're a custom builder. So 20 to 30 homes a year. Well known in the area. Husband's a realtor. Gorgeous houses. This builder builds, you know, gorgeous. They're not entry level homes. Okay, they obviously have the money to spend on the top of the line equipment. So here's the question. In theory, and then not necessarily what you did or what the end result was on your situation, Corey, like you said, it's based in that story. But I like the scenario because I want to discuss how do we approach that? What do we do? So here's the questions that pop up. Do we know that they can afford our top-of-the-line unit? Is that what we quote them? It's a gorgeous house. You know, it's a house that they are selling. So this builder said, we've got this house. We've already got a closing date. It just needs water treatment. And so go tell us what we need. Do you give her a quote on the most expensive units you have and an RO and all of that? They can obviously afford it. Do we quote that system with a huge builder discount and hoping to give to get the get the business in the future? Do we quote them the least expensive softener we have that will work? You know, we want to put in something that will work, but do we quote the least expensive system we have in hopes of making them realize that we've got affordable priced equipment? What do we do? What's the next step? And Corey, I want to find out what you would suggest and what you did, because I know this was an ongoing scenario, but I kind of want to open it up and get some opinions and advice from everybody else on this scenario. What do you do? How do you handle that situation? What's the next step?
And just to reiterate.
No, go ahead, Corey. You have something to add?
One sec. Just to reiterate how much I want to work with them, I did find out they actually won the Parade of Homes in our area. Last year they had the grand prize and all that sort of stuff. Homes are in these these competitions and everything.
So
and,
this is a builder with a good reputation.
Very
and
good reputation.
Builds a quality home. Okay, good. That adds to it. So what do you guys think? What do we do?
First of all, I'd give them the options.
What's that?
Give them the options. Give them less to the most expensive.
Okay. All right. So let them know that we have choices. I think that's an excellent suggestion. What else? What else do you guys think?
Choices, and you need to ask a few questions. What are they looking for?
Good. That's where I was going with it, Stacey, yeah.
Represent that high end, or are they just wanting to slap something cheap in there?
Yeah.
And I'm laying odds they're not looking to slap something cheap in there. But you need to ask them and give them, you need to respect them and find out what their wants are.
What are some things that you can do? So let me talk about that one first, okay? I absolutely 100% agree. In fact, I think, Stacey, if you take what you said and what Greg, I think that was you, Greg, that
yep.
said that, you take that, those two things and you combine them, because this is, you can't just go in and assume that you're suddenly going to have a relationship with this person. It still has to, you know, the analogy I gave, it was a little weird. It got a little creepy. I know that surprises you guys with me and my sense of humor, but what it made me think of is like, ooh, yay, you got the date. You got to ease into it though. You got to go for coffee first. So you got this builder to go to coffee with you. You don't go to coffee and immediately ask the builder back to your place. You know, it doesn't, it's not that fast. You know, you're going to creep them out. It's going to freak them out. So it's got to go slow. You've got to go have coffee and then go for a walk in the park a little bit. But asking questions to find out what they're looking for. And you know, there's so much information that I think you need to gather before you have this meeting, particularly why are they calling? You know, have they worked with anybody in the past? All right, have they, were they working with this competitor? And now they're calling you, was it because the person buying the house wanted you there, not the competitor? Was it because they were working with the competitor, but the competitor did something that made them mad? Was it because they've never recommended anybody ever in the future, you know, in the past, and they called because they knew your name, because it was, you know, they, it was just something that came up? You know, so all of those things are really important pieces of information to have before you go into the, into the conversation. And so I think, Stacey, you're exactly right. You have to ask questions. And in those questions, sometimes in the way you word the questions, and this is actually pretty similar to the way it is when you actually go in on a sales appointment, right, when you're with the customer. You can give them information in the kinds of questions you ask, right? So you can ask them the question, you know, so we have, I mean, all of our stuff, we are, insert the name of your company here, you know, nothing we carry is entry-level stuff. All of our stuff is high quality, but we do have less expensive equipment and more expensive equipment. Which are you looking for in this scenario? Do you want something that's going to be of a higher quality, that's going to match the quality of the other, you know, the appliances and the faucets and the things that are already in this house? Or are you looking for something right now that that functions, that works, that does a good job, but that is, you know, just the basic high quality softener? You know, in asking that question or something similar to it, you're giving them the information. You're telling them that you have options, like you suggested, Greg. But you're asking the question, you know, what are you guys looking for, like you suggested, Stacey. Does that make sense? What else would you guys do? What else are your thoughts on this? In my book, I had, feel free, if you guys have something, jump in here and make a comment. Like I said, I want this to be a discussion. I don't want it all to be my opinion on this stuff, but I did have a scenario. You know, there were several builders. I always consider myself pretty lucky, actually. The types of builders I had in my sales territory were exactly what you're describing, Corey, this type of builder. I did not have any of those builders that came in and, you know, the big national or even the regional builders that build hundreds of homes. you know, how they have those. In fact, if you're kind of curious how I separate the categories of builders, there's a webinar on my motorvitality.com that we did, I think last year, on, you know, how to work with the different types of builders. But the big regional or national builders that build hundreds of homes a year, and they have like four models or five models, and you know, and they have these developments, and they're basically cookie cutter homes, right? They're the same kind. Those are built, they're all spec homes. You know, somebody comes in and it's like they go shopping in a development. Okay, I want this type in that lot, you know, and as opposed to the builders that do 10 to 20 homes a year that have very few spec houses that are, you know, when they start to build a house, the house is sold. You know, somebody has commissioned them to build this house for them, and it's a custom home. And I loved working with those types of builders because typically those builders are very involved in their own work. You know, you don't have to go through 20 gatekeepers to get to the one person. And the builder is not the person that makes that decision anyway. Those huge builders, the ones that do all those massive homes every year, they're out on a boat somewhere playing. They're probably not, and they might walk through a house occasionally, but they're not actively involved. They're not getting, they don't have the calluses on their hands anymore. You know, they have people for that. They have site managers or development managers that handle all of that stuff. So to be able to get in with this, you know, with those small builders like that is awesome. But it's, you also have to be very careful. You know, this is where I was going with offering discounts and talking about pricing. In my book, I talked about this one builder that I had. This one was actually smaller. He did maybe six or seven homes a year, but he had a superb reputation. Everybody, they said that this guy was a super nice guy. He built a beautiful home. Just everybody, the customers just loved him. And I wanted his referral. That's who I wanted to be associated with, because I just was so impressed with the way his customers talked about him that I wanted his referrals. I wanted to partner with him. And this was a lesson hard learned when it came to working with the builder. You know, I finally, after a couple of years, got my first referral from him. And I went into this house, and it was on a well, and these people had, it was kind of the perfect storm. They had horrible water. It was, we ended up having to put in extra filtration, a water softener, a reverse osmosis system. I mean, they had arsenic in their water. But on top of that, they wanted the top of the line stuff. They wanted the, you know, all the really good stuff. It's a beautiful home, but it ended up being a really expensive sale. And I went back to give the builder, I asked the builder whether he wanted the customer to get the rebate or the, you know, or the builder discount, because that was something. And he was really, he thought because of the price tag on that equipment that I had screwed these customers over. He thought that I was just this slime ball sales guy. I mean, and eventually the customers took up for me, and it, you know, and indicated to him that I was not that way, that that's not the way I approached it. But I never got another referral from him because he thought that I wouldn't, he cared so much for his customers. He was trying to help them and save their money and to work. He thought that I'd gone in there like a typical sales guy and had just screwed him over, had priced it way too high and had, you know, had just sold him the biggest stuff. And so that the lesson for me on that was not every builder wants a kickback. Not every, you know, I had always thought all builders always want kickbacks. Not all of them do. Some of them are out there building a house because they're, you know, they're just genuinely trying to, not that somebody, if they get a referral fee, not that that makes them a bad person. You know, that I don't think there's anything unethical about that. That they do volume stuff. It's, you're allowed to give them, you know, seniors get 10% off when they go to Denny's at 4 o'clock. You know, so it's there's nothing unethical about a volume discount or a discount like that, I don't think. Not generally. I mean, sometimes with realtors, you know, they have a code of ethics. They're not allowed to to take kickbacks or anything like that. But builders, you know, if they are taking care of their customers, I don't have a problem giving them a little bit for a referral. I don't have a problem giving the average Joe Schmo a little bit for referrals. But we can't go in and assume automatically that builder is going to want a discount, or that we, you know, I think some builders are going to be offended. Some people would be offended. You go in and you see this multi-million dollar home, this gorgeous home, and I think that it's not uncommon for people to go in and go, oh, that person's got money, or let's just throw it in there. And if they think that you're trying to kind of screw them over, you know, take advantage of their money, you're never going to get that referral again. The relationship with that builder is gone, you know, and they're gone. It's gone. So, I think your question, or your statement, Stacy, about asking questions is highly critical, right? You have to find out more about what this builder's looking for. The awesome thing about this is it's a foot in the door that you did not have before. If they had used us before and we messed it up, we want to know about that so we don't make the same mistake. If they were using a competitor and the competitor messed it up, we want to know that because we don't want to make that same mistake, right? If they are in, you know, do they include water treatment in the home at all? Why, you know, why have they ever called anybody? This is a perfect time to learn something and to take it from there. But you can't just jump in without knowing what the temperature of the water is first. You've got to find out what they're looking for. Corey, you want to add anything to this? Is, you know, you're like the, I mean, we've already bought the rights to the story, and so I can change it however I want.
No, it's pretty accurate. But I tried calling yesterday, but it was after 5, and I only have her office number. So that's today.
Oh.
My 8:15 task today is to give her a call. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. What do you guys
update
think?
The
what,
call.
Any other, go, well, what are your thoughts? I mean, I know that you thought a lot about this yesterday in the last couple of minutes of this. What do you have to add? What is your game plan as you approach this?
I'm not just going to assume that they want a discount or that I don't want to make it seem like I'm ashamed of my prices. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Good. Yeah.
I don't want to go in there and say, you know, just because I want to do business with you, I want to give you a discount. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm definitely going to spend quite a bit of time asking questions, kind of just getting to know the situation. That's
I think it's really important to not seem desperate, to let them know that you do want the opportunity to work with them. I think it's okay to let them know what the end goal is. You know, I love that you called me. I recognize that you're a builder. I want to use this chance to wow you with service. And this is the part where you definitely gotta, you know, I know that you guys have good service there, and you have, but this is the time to make sure that you go extra careful. You got to have a conversation with your service manager, with your installers. Meet the people out at the installer. We have to make sure that everything goes smoothly on this, and that people understand the value of making sure everything goes smoothly on this. You know, if you had 10 dates with somebody and you're late on, you know, to dinner, you know, you've got a pretty good track record. Okay, if you're late on the very first date, you know, that people start to wonder if this is something that you're always late on, you know. And so it does become really important to make sure that everybody involved understands the importance of it, but also to make sure that they, you don't want to be desperate, you don't want to beg them, please let me have your business and all 20 of your houses every year, please. Say it with me, Corey. Beg a little. Beg. I want to hear you beg. But you don't want to beg, right? But I do think that it's completely appropriate to make it known that you appreciate the opportunity to help and that you have a longer term goal, that you're seeing a bigger picture. You know, they're in business. They understand that. So any final thoughts or comments on this?
I have a few comments. This is Greg in Valparaiso.
Hey, Greg in Valparaiso.
The way I'm in the Builders Association on a board of directors, and I know quite a few builders, and, you know, all their personalities are different. Some are chatty Cathy, some hardly say two words. And just because they don't say two words doesn't mean they don't like you or care for you or anything. So that's kind of hard to get over. But I didn't really hear if you know this builder's personality at all, but you got to be prepared for them not really wanting to answer 20 questions.
Good point. Really good point.
I have my list of a couple questions that what's most important? If he's not a talker, what's most important? What do I absolutely need to know? If he's a talker, then you can expand your questions of more to get to know him and whatnot. As far as the discount, what I would do, I present it as a, you know, we do have a builder or contractors program that we offer for builders. If that's something you're interested in, we can certainly talk about that. As opposed to saying, I can give you this X discount as a builder's discount. That long-term goal is to get them on your builder's program. So, you know, offer them a builder's program. And if you'd like more information on that, we can certainly, you know, maybe sit down and talk about our builder's program or contractor's program, you know, and maybe develop a long-term relationship. But, you know, builders are all different. Some talk, and most of them don't really want to talk. And personally, you probably got to be prepared to have to leave a message, and you might not even get to talk to them. Again, I don't know if you know this builder at all, but they're a different breed. Some of them are and some of them don't want to talk. And what's hard for me is I always think if they don't want to talk, they don't care for me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest problem that I have to get over, and I have to just – you know, a lot of people, if you don't say the first word, they're never going to say a word to you. But if you say hi, then they'll chat you up all day long. So that's just my two cents.
I thought excellent advice. Yeah. That was very, very good, Greg. Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be in the name. Look how smart the Gregs are on these calls. They with that though, we are out of time. Thanks everybody. Corey, thanks for letting me use your scenario there. I'm excited to hear how it plays out. And everybody else, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I will talk to you guys officially on the MV Pro call in 3 weeks. Please join Jen and then Corey over the next couple of weeks, and everybody be safe. We will talk to you next time, if not before. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. If we talk to you next time, it won't be before next time. It'll be next time. So anyway, thanks everybody.
Take care.